We have election results, and a proposed mining exploration project near a Haines neighborhood hits a roadblock. It's a KHNS Local News. I'm Margaret Friednauer. Those stories and more up next. Haines voters decided Tuesday that local public officials will be exempt from state financial disclosure laws. It's the third time in 5 years that Haines voters have been asked to weigh in on the issue, and this time it passed with about 56% of the vote. Public officials, including those serving on the Assembly, School Board, and Planning Commission, will now file financial information with the borough. The forms will be kept at the borough offices and available to the public if asked. The ordinance outlining the disclosure requirements was recently revised by the Borough Assembly in anticipation of the ballot measure passing. The local laws vary from the state laws on some of the amounts of money required to be reported and interests that must be detailed. Supporters of the measure have said they hope the less stringent local laws will help encourage more residents to run for public office. Mayor Stephanie Scott said she was confident the laws will be better managed at a local level.
So rather than rely on the state, we're going to be relying on ourselves. And I have confidence that we're an ethical community, though we're not ever 100% perfect. I feel absolutely confident that we can make sure that we uncover conflicts of interest and work through them. So I am just delighted.
Assemblywoman Joanne Waterman was reelected to her second term on the Assembly. She was challenged by local real estate broker James Studley. Waterman won with nearly 65% of the vote.
I'm happy about the support, and to me it fortifies, I guess, the feeling that I'm doing a good job for the borough.
And Chilkoot Indian Association Tribal Administrator Dave Berry Jr. was elected over resident Jonathan Green. Berry received nearly 55% of the vote. He previously served as Haines City Councilman for 13 years and as mayor of the city of Haines before the city and borough consolidated in 2002. Berry will take the seat being vacated by current assembly member Damon Hoffman. Local high school senior Royal Henderson was elected to the Haines School Board. The 18-year-old ran for a seat with a one-year term since he'll be graduating next year. Henderson received the most votes of any of the school board candidates with 682. Sarah Chapel and incumbent Brenda Jones were close behind, receiving enough percentage of the vote to win their uncontested races as well. Current school board members leaving their posts include Chair Carol Kelly and members Sean Cohn and Nell Jerglight-Green. A fourth seat remains open, and the school board will have to appoint someone to that seat. In Skagway, David Hunt lost re-election after serving on the Skagway Assembly for 15 years. Instead, voters elected Steve Burnham Jr. and Gary Hansen, each getting about 61% of the vote to take the two open assembly seats. Hansen said he was surprised by the results.
I was on pins and needles last night. I was surprised as anybody when the results came out that showed that Steve and I were the top vote getters.
Current Assemblyman Tim Cochran did not run for re-election. Hansen said he hopes even with Cochran and Hunts no longer on the Assembly, the group will still be able to tap into their knowledge from their time on the board.
I just wanted to make sure that I said thank you to Tim Cochran and Dave Hunts for their years of service on the Assembly. I really appreciate all the time and effort they put into it, especially Dave with 15 years, and hopefully we'll still be able to go back to them for advice or utilize their expertise as we go forward.
Stuart Brown and John Hischer will join the Skagway School Board, winning their uncontested races. While absentee and question ballots remain to be counted in both communities, election officials said there aren't enough outstanding ballots to change the results in any of the races. Voter turnout for the two communities was mixed. Haines had a much lower turnout than its 2011 election, with only 844 or 38% of registered voters casting a ballot. But it was a relatively tame election compared to last year, when 53% of registered voters chose the mayor and three assembly seats and had to decide whether to recall two other assembly members. Skagway had 40% voter turnout on Tuesday, topping out over last year's 25%. The results from both communities were given to us by Haines Borough Clerk Julie Causey and Skagway Borough Clerk Emily Deitch. Special thanks to them for getting us the results on Tuesday evening. The clerks emphasize these are just preliminary results. They will have to be canvassed to allow for challenges and then certified in the coming weeks. We've posted a complete breakdown of votes received for each candidate and the ballot measure on our KHNS News webpage and our KHNS News Facebook page. The Haynesboro and Skagway Borough websites also have complete election results. We reported earlier this week about a Skagway man who is proposing a mining exploration project near a Haynes neighborhood and that the project was concerning nearby residents. Now, the state is telling residents and local officials that the project will not go forward as proposed because the mineral rights are in question and permission was not secured by the Department of Transportation to work in the area. Eric Hosford submitted the application for hard rock exploration on about 5 acres near 3 Mile Mud Bay Road. He was proposing to spend about 2 weeks excavating 2 trenches that would allow him to do a bulk assay of the area. Hosford said he hadn't expected any complications with the project because he owns the mineral rights on the state land, having purchased them about 2 years ago. But once neighbors found the application for the project on a state website, they began contacting the State Department of Natural Resources. They expressed a variety of concerns, ranging from possible groundwater contamination, damage to surface water flow, and disruptions to nearby residents. A state mining official has been diligently responding to each person that has contacted him, patiently explaining in emails how mineral rights and exploration permits normally work. Residents have shared those emails with us. On Tuesday, David Wilfong, an engineering assistant with the Department of Natural Resources, sent another email to a group of residents, including Mayor Stephanie Scott and Borough Manager Mark Ernest. He writes in the email that 2 serious issues have arisen after researching the project further. First, the State Mineral Properties Section erroneously granted 2 mining claims to Hosford on the Sportsman's Rifle Range property. Wilfong writes, "Those claims have been voided, and any work that Hosford wished to do on that property will now have to be permitted through the Bureau of Land Management." Wilfong writes that, additionally, Hosford did not receive permission from the State Department of Transportation to work in the right-of-way along Mud Bay Road, near where he proposed to dig the 2 trenches. Therefore, the email says, the department cannot and will not approve the exploration application as it's written now. Wilfong notes that Hosford has other options he could pursue to conduct exploration activities in the area. The state said they would try to speak to us more about the situation, including how mineral rights could have been granted on the Sportsman's Range property, but they were not able to get back to us by late Wednesday. A recent gathering in Haynes to discuss possibilities to utilize the port facilities here netted strong interest from across the region. The summit was organized by the Haynes Port Development Council, a private group that formed several months ago to promote Haynes port resources. Bill Kurz is one of the council's founders and said the summit turned out better than he hoped.
The council is overwhelmed with the wonderful response and the way it went.
He said the approximately 15 attendees included representatives from the Alaska Governor's Office, the Yukon Government, Yukon Mining and Exploration Companies, the Alaska Railroad, the Alaska Industrial Development and Export Authority, Alaska Department of Transportation, and a University of Alaska professor in mining and geology. Haynesboro administration and assembly members also attended, although the borough did not have any part in planning or hosting the summit. Kurz said the participants spent an evening discussing the possible future mining and natural gas operations in the Yukon that could utilize the Haynes port facilities. Some of that discussion centered on the Lutac dock facility, but other participants noted the potential of the privately held Chilkoot dock facility. Transportation and railroad officials said they are interested in exploring how to upgrade the Haynes Highway Corridor for more industrial use and the potential for bringing rail to Haynes to aid in port shipments. Participants also attended a Haynes Chamber of Commerce luncheon and spoke about their interest in Haynes port development. ADA Representative Jim Hemsath said the Lutac facility is configured well for a deepwater port and said the ingredients exist in Haynes for very good economic activity. He said ADA would be interested in talking with the borough further about the possibilities for helping finance port development projects. Laura Spicer with the Yukon Oil and Gas Division said word needs to get out that Haynes is interested in port development and business. She said in addition to looking into port development for exporting goods and minerals, Haynes needs to keep in mind that companies will also be looking to bring energy, such as liquefied natural gas, into mining operations. Kurz said the summit was just the beginning of a long process.
This is the tip of the iceberg. This is the beginning. Now it gets down into the different groups, the different organizations that want to move ahead, and figure out where we go from here. What is the borough going to feel it's going to do? But then you have all the private interests. The private interest is the bigger part of the port, obviously. So it's getting together and putting something together to manage the port.
In related news, the borough's Port Development Steering Committee met Tuesday. On the agenda was a discussion of a proposed memorandum of understanding with Prophecy Platinum Corporation, a company that owns a Wellgreen deposit near Burwash Landing. Borough Manager Mark Ernest told the committee the company has proposed a standard MOU with the borough. He said MOUs are common to show that a company and entity like the Haines Borough are committed to working together as a project progresses. But the MOU suggested by the company in this case included a strict confidentiality clause that some in the public said was unnecessary. Ernest said he spoke with the company and they were comfortable with removing the entire section on confidentiality at this point. Ernest pointed out that when and if talks between the borough and company reach the stage of negotiations, there may be other agreements that require some confidentiality guidelines. But he said it would not be until about 2014 or even later that development at the mine would reach a stage where negotiations would become a reality. Prophecy has identified Haines as the closest deep sea port to the platinum, nickel, and copper deposits. For KHNS News, this is Margaret Friedenauer. Thanks for listening to your local news on KHNS. We appreciate your support.